Hey everyone, welcome back to Soc Pod, your home for the beautiful game called soccer. We're going to begin right now, but please don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Soc Pod.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Soc Pod. As you know, it's your host, T, and I also have here my co-host, Dami and ID. How's it going, guys?
I'm good. Celebrating and seeing my revelation, my prediction come to pass. I mean, 11 points, 12 points, we move.
Well, I mean, it was a good week, a good weekend. I think there was a lot of emotions, a lot of like ups and downs. So we're gonna definitely go through everything. So what game do you guys want to start with? Do you guys want to start with Coutinho, or do you guys want to start with Kevin De Bruyne and Kante not being able to stop him? Which one do you want? You guys want to start with? I'll let you guys take your pick.
That's my second Coutinho. I don't blame you. I blame United players. Yeah, I don't blame you.
Just as a disclaimer, right? I did tweet that I just wanted to see Coutinho on the field. Not because of anything, just because it was back in Prem. But a certain man attacked me for it.
Yeah, a certain man being me. Because he was at your club for years. You never said you wanted to see him on the pitch.
Well, I mean,
but all of a sudden, he's not playing for you anymore. You're like, oh, I want to see him on the pitch.
He didn't flourish in my club. It's not his fault. But I was really happy to see him back in the Prem, to be honest. I just wanted to see him play.
I'm glad it wasn't his fault. It was your club's fault.
Well, are you going to say it's Bayern's fault also?
I mean, he played. Hey, he won Champions League with Bayern. He scored against you. So,
no, obviously, he did.
It wasn't too bad for Bayern, actually.
It wasn't too bad, but they didn't want to keep him, so it wasn't up to par.
I mean, come on, Bayern didn't have the money for the salary and stuff. You guys pay people outrageous salaries. Bayern don't.
We really do.
Exactly. So even if they wanted to keep him, Bayern can't afford the salary. Come on, let's be honest.
Well, it's good to see him back in the Prem. And since we're already talking about Coutinho, I guess we're going to start with the Manchester United game. So, you know, for the people out there saying Ronaldo is the problem of Manchester United, well, I really want to see what they have to say this week. Because as we all saw, Ronaldo didn't play. It was kind of like Bruno Fernandes' show for, I don't know, about 60 minutes. And then all of a sudden, a change made by Steven Gerrard, and it changed the entire game. So, ID, break down the game for us. What do you think happened?
As crazy as it is, because that game felt like a loss. Bottled the two-goal cushion. There's a positive to take from that game. And the positive is, but the positive, in fairness, is something we've always known, if you watch Manchester United, it's something everyone knows. We need a proper, top-of-the-class DM. Ragnick decided to play 4-3-3 flat, right? Which is what Ole wanted to play coming into the season. Because in fairness, that's what gives us the best balance. But Ole never played it because Ole never had the cojones. I mean, he played it once or twice, about a call, once in the Champions League and once in the league. Because he knows the only proper DM we have is Matic. But the problem with Matic is old. So Matic can't play at the top level for 90 minutes straight, and he can't play back-to-back games 90 minutes at, you know, his best. So Ole always went to back right, and Ragnick did the same. But Ragnick said, okay, I'm going to go to the 4-3-3, which gives you guys the best balance. And you could see for the first 30 minutes, we dominated that game. We played well, and it was one of the best performances we've had on the Ragnick, the first 30 minutes. Now, I remember saying the basics was what we're not doing. The basic when it comes to football, pass the ball well, 1-2 passes, pass it vertical passes, trim the lines, and be accurate with the pass. Don't dwell on the ball too much. The basics. Run for each other. The basics, which is what we've been lacking. We're not lacking. Like, trust me, Guardiola can come into this team right now and we'll still be shit if the mentality doesn't change. And the mentality is another reason why we lost that game. Now, I mean, I just said lost, but we drew the game. But again, that it felt like a loss. Now, the first 30 minutes, I've said it, what made us good. Crisp passing, 1-2 passes, vertical passes, 1-3-3 flat, 4-3-3 flat. Matic was, you know, fresh, was playing well. Fred was pushing up. Bruno had the game on hand. Now, when it was 2-0 in the second half, you could see Man United started wavering because, let's be honest, Aston Villa came out of, you know, dressing room on another level. Stevie G definitely, you know, give them the hair dryer. Now, this is where I tweeted a letter yesterday. I said, 11 people lost that game. 10 outfield players and Ragnick. The only one player that could hold his head up high going, you know, leaving that stadium was De Gea. Ragnick lost the game in the sense that when it was 2-1, right, you could see Matic's legs when they were wavering. He couldn't keep up anymore. He was struggling. Fred as well was struggling. People were going past him easily because Fred was playing as a proper box-to-box. It was at that point that I expected him to bring in Donny van de Beek. Now, you might say, why bring in Donny van de Beek considering he has barely played the season, even under Ragnick? Ragnick literally said when we played them in during the week that when Donny came in, he brought balance when he switched to the diamond. So we're expecting Donny to start. If Donny wasn't starting, this was around the, you know, 80th, 75th minute. You're supposed to bring on Donny because you can see that Fred is tiring. Matic is tiring as well. If you brought on Donny for Fred, Donny can still cover the ground and protect Matic a little bit. If you see those two goals came from Fred's area because Fred was too fucking lackadaisical in tackling the ball. And Matic was really tired. And again, the mentality, which I've always screamed has been our problem, showed the poor mentality. So the first 30 minutes, parts of the second half, is a platform on what you know we can be. And the last 20 minutes and the last, you know, 10 minutes in the first half-ish shows what is still lacking, which is a proper DM that can play 90 minutes at top level, mm-hmm. a good mentality, and I mean, in fairness, let's be honest, as much as this were not problems in the two goals per se, our fullbacks are awful as well. But that's a discussion for another day.
Yeah.
And I said yesterday, we're not making top four if we don't sign a decent DM this January transfer. We're not making top four.
Fair enough. Dami, what do you think about the game? And also, I also wanted to have your take on, I don't know if you got to see the Ronaldo interview where he was talking about, although he said he wasn't talking about the present Man United squad, but there are younger players right now that they don't want to listen to criticism and they see it as an attack rather than the older players advising them. Like, what do you think about that mentality? Is this something you think is going on across the football platform as in general, or do you feel like it's only affecting certain clubs?
Anyways, I won't waste my time speaking about my United, because I'm tired of speaking about that thing, because it's like week and week, they don't want to show up. And you did use a word. You said the first 16 minutes was a Bruno Fernandes. I don't really think so. Yeah, he had the two goals, but then Bruno was still Bruno. Misplaced passes here and there. But what I'm going to talk about actually is Cristiano Ronaldo's interview. This is a Man United problem. It's a Man United and Mbappe problem. Those two people.
Why are you saying two entities? One individual and the whole club.
And the whole club.
No, I mean, come on. We can see it on the field. It's like we can... And, you know...
No. I'm not disputing.
I know, yeah. This is so perfect because I said I get this energy. And I think the leader of those goons of not listening in the club room, it's Maguire. I don't know. Maguire, I've been saying this for over a week now. It gives me some type of thing that I just feel like he thinks is big. Like, you know, yes, they paid a lot for me. I can do what I want. I can do gigi. I can do gaga. Like, that sort of thing. He wants to chill with the big boys. But he doesn't know he's still a small boy, you know? But Ronaldo is right. I think Man United have that. But even though he didn't specifically say Man United, and though the media twisted and turned everything he said that in the most media, you can tell, like, he's someone who knows how to speak to the media. he said that the best way he could say, here's the problem. And I don't think he went out of line the way he said it, but I really, really don't like the way the media kind of twisted the things he has said.
It's the media, man.
Painted him a bad guy, because this still there to be said. Like, after you see the way Rashford played in their last game, not the Aston Villa game, and not the two Aston Villa games, the game before that. You see the way Rashford played. He was just there walking like he doesn't care, doesn't even want to listen. I feel like all those points, at some point, if Ragnar tells some player to go play another position, they will tell him, no, this is what I want to play. I think so.
I mean, didn't you see the Marcio post after, too?
Yeah, I was just going to talk about that one as well.
We're in shambles, man. We're in joke club. Bro.
I also think, I actually think what Man United needs now is a big name and respected manager. So when ID said someone like Pep, if someone like Pep or like Zidane, just like a big coach that is respected all over the world comes into Man United, I think those players would turn up. And the reason why I say so is like Ragnik, yeah, for father of Gengen Press. What has Gengen Press won?
No, but Gengen... the reason I said that, we have Mourinho. Come on, I'm not saying these coaches are not good. I'm just saying a mentality, the culture, the club culture has changed, which is why Ronaldo had to do that interview. Because
but the reason,
the shift in club culture is astonishing.
The reason why I avoided the name Mourinho is one of the greatest coaches ever. But I don't think you can tell me one club where the players don't always end up having an issue with Mourinho. That has been the case. It's everywhere Mourinho goes, which is why I don't want to mention Mourinho's name, and I use the name like...
Inter Milan.
That's the way it is. Mourinho at Inter Milan has to be one of the greatest manager moments of all time. Because what he did with Inter Milan is different. And like what he did with Inter Milan, the mindset back then, those players back then, they were ready to die for the badge. The players that we have right now, these TikTok and Instagram players, they just want to score goals and post on Instagram, which is what I think. So they are lightweight, which are why I mentioned players like Pep, and I want to say Klopp too as well. Pep, Klopp is Zidane. It's like a big name coach that's already out there, that's respected out there. I think if that coach comes into Man United, it's going to change the way football is played and the culture, the way it's played.
If those guys come into United, they'd sell half of the players. Let's be honest.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, I'm talking about with the players we have now. I'm not talking about selling half of the players.
Something must give. Because I think when you start selling players and you just sell them for anything, let them get nothing, then the rest that remain, their mindset will change. Something has to give. Or even if you don't want to sell them, bench them. I feel like the coaches Man United have right now are giving too much respect to players that are playing in such a mediocre way. If I'm Man United coach, I'm telling you, Maguire will be benched for at least 6 weeks.
When his
head is reset and then he's playing at a certain level that he needs to start playing. Even Rashford, after what Rashford did against Wolves, he did decide to play for the next 3 games. Not even touch the team sheet. Because at this point, we all know United is not making top 4. They might never make top 6. They might be the third time of next season at this week. Because Aston Villa game, I don't care what Steven G is doing. They should have won that game. I don't know what's going on. They should have won.
Oh, come on. Not yesterday's game. I mean, the weekday, the cup game, yes. You should have won the cup game at Old Trafford, 100%. But you can't say Aston Villa deserved to win the Premier League.
The only reason why I said they should have won against Aston Villa even this weekend, it's because it's Man United and the caliber of players they have. The caliber of players they have should be winning.
Oh, you're saying Man United should have won the game?
Oh, yeah.
I thought you meant Aston Villa should have won.
No. I'm talking about Man United.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
So it's clear I don't know what Man United's goal is for this season. If I'm writing right now, the goal would be changing the culture. And what would I do by changing the culture? If I need to play a starting 11 of academic players for the next 6 games, so the starting 11 and this first team can know this club belongs to the team and not them. I would do it. I mean, it's only there for 6 months anyways. So why can't he do it? It's not like he's scared of a job security or anything. Ragnar needs to start benching these players for a long period of time. When they don't see football to play, and they will go and cry on Instagram and be okay. I rest my case. You know
honestly,
what? I mean,
honestly, Dami hit the nail on the head. Like, I don't disagree with anything you said. Because when he started benching them or whatever, then, you know, you start listening to leaks from the dressing room and people start telling their agents some bullshit and stuff like that. The whole wine bag, man, all of them. And so United fans have said it. At this point, since the season is so shit, let's fucking bring back Rooney and play all the academy players to June anyway. Because at this point, is you know, we're just it's comical, man. Look at the Martial situation. Like, it's just a joke. Like, Martial,
I didn't even know that was possible.
Mate, it is at this point right now. My listen, my United, I'm a United fan. We're a joke, man.
Damn.
If you don't sign up DM, I'm not making Champions League. And the Glazers better do it, because if they don't want to let go of 40 million to sign a DM in general, even though it might be an emergency DM, they're going to lose out 100 million for the Champions League qualification. Since they love money so much, they should do the math.
Well, we'll have to wait and see to find out what goes on over there. But another thing I want to just talk about, staying in the EPL, is Everton and Rafa Benitez. Now, he signed 22 games ago, and you know, he didn't do as well as people or the Everton board of directors thought he was going to do, and they got him fired after the game against Norwich, the 2-1 loss against Norwich. Now, based on the amount of coaches that we have out there, you know, as free agents, because I saw a rumor today that Wayne Rooney is probably one of the coaches that they're going to be going at, going for. Do you think Rafa Benitez was fired too soon, or should they have like still let him finish out the season at least? Because I know they're like in a relegation battle right now, but they still have like. Let's be honest, we still think that they can still bounce back. So what do you guys think? Do you feel like Rafa Benitez was fired too early, or it was time for him to go and they should just get someone else?
He shouldn't have been hired in the first place.
What?
He shouldn't have been hired in the first place.
He shouldn't have been hired? Why would you say that?
Mate, come on. He never got the backing of anyone except Moshery. Moshery is the only one that wanted Benitez. The fans were never on board. The fans didn't like the fact that a former Liverpool coach was their coach. Like, you know, the Merseyside rivalry out here, like, he never got the backing from the fans. He never got the backing from most of the board, except Moshery. So, and Moshery doesn't really know much about football. He needs to just shut the fuck up, give them the money, and just watch. Stop trying to decide. I know you just bought the club. I know you have majority now, and I know everything, but Moshery knows nothing about football. Just give them the money and sit on the sideline. Benitez on his own, as a person, yeah, honestly, you know, we all know Benitez likes causing drama and stuff. He likes being honest. You know, some people call him a politician. He doesn't take, you know, he outs the board. But he never got the backing from the fans. And when the results, I said it, I'm like, if he needed good results, like back to back to back, to maybe see people start saying, okay, maybe we'll, you know, back him a little bit. But most of the Everton faithful never backed him because he was a former Liverpool coach. Even though he started the season well, there were still doubts. And when he started going on the barren run, I think, what, 1 win in 13 games? I think the only win was against Arsenal. I actually tweeted yesterday. He's getting fired after the Norwich game. It was the upper line. It was obvious, you know. So the writing has been on the wall. I never thought it was going to last, to be honest, especially if there would be no 10th, which they've been for a long time, all the way from fourth. So yeah, I don't think it was too soon. I don't think it should have been hired. I think it was the wrong hiring. It was the wrong call. Yeah, Benitez just needs to forget about everything.
Oh, okay. All right, Dami, what about you? What do you think?
The way you presented that question, it seems Everton is the only thing you want to talk about from EPL. But I think my boys are still there, so I'm going to spend my time that remains to talk about Everton instead to talk about the amazing performance from the boys in blue on Saturday. What a game.
Jesus.
We're going to talk about that. Don't worry.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it.
Oh, don't worry.
I thought I was about to have a monologue, you know?
You know what?
Give your monologue. Let's hear what your monologue is.
Thank you. So I think the game Man City, Chelsea just showed the whole world that Man City is going to dominate the EPL for the next 10 years.
Oh, my God. One game shows 10 years now?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
This better be interesting.
Pep is not going to be there for the next 10 years.
You see, unlike the Instagram and TikTok players that play for Man United,
wow.
The players we have on Man City, they can carry on the culture even after Pep leaves. At the same way, when Pep left Barca, the culture and the system of play lasted for as long as they could pay Messi, and then they went bankrupt because Messi was earning too much. No one is going to end up half of what Messi's earning with Man City. So we'll be able to replenish our old players. And that, the Pep needs to be considered as one of the greatest of all time. I'm sorry. And I saw a post recently that says when it comes to tactic and actually coaching soccer, coaching football, coaching the different things that happen during a game, Pep is the best we've ever seen ever in the world. When it comes to player management and actually motivating your team, then we can mention Sir Alex Ferguson, which he did with Man United. Because the way he played Chelsea in that game was phenomenal. One of the things everyone knows Lukaku for is his hold up play. Lukaku couldn't hold up the ball. He could barely win any headers in that midfield. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but my boy Bernardo played multiple positions during that game. But the most important role he played Bernardo as was a DM. Because I tried for the first 70 minutes of that game, it seemed like Man City were playing a 4-2-3-1 with Bernardo and Rodri as a DM. And Bernardo was doing a better Kante than Kante himself. As short as his legs were, every time he's always on the floor getting ball back. That man deserves some accolade. Oh my God. You guys don't know how I was just watching again. I was like, wow. So this is what football means when you're playing it. It was so amazing. And I think this is going to happen for the next 10 years. Because as players are leaving, we have some young players that can keep carrying on the culture and new players will come in. And they're going to keep doing the same thing. And I think in 10 years, everyone is going to forget that Man United was once great. It's going to become a thing of history. Just like the way we used to remember Leeds United, that they always dominate. Leeds, Lipwich, Blackburn Rovers. That's what Man United will be.
Now, just
what
we're disrespectful. Having.
It's the truth. Because I look at it and I'm like, okay, what are the other teams that can give Man City a competition? I don't see it. But I'm like, okay, maybe as time passes on, maybe other teams will start investing. I don't think Man United is going to do that because I've always said Man United is a business and they've forgotten the football side of the team. So I don't think they're going to do that. So I think Liverpool would try, but I don't even know if Liverpool will be able to challenge next season at all, because they don't seem to want to pay Salah, and no one knows what's going to happen with Chelsea. It's like all the other teams that can challenge Man City, they don't look stable in the foreseeable future. They don't seem to have a plan for the next 2-3 years, but you can see the plan right there for Man City for the next 5 years. We know in 3 years now, my boy Foden is going to start being in the Ballon d'Or conversation. When that time comes, what do you think would happen? By then, we'll be winning quadruple. I don't even know. We'll be winning like 7 trophies in the calendar year. Oh my God. But, oh my God. All right,
Dami, I'm gonna have to cut you off because I know you can
toot your own horn.
You can toot your own for like the next 5 hours.
I rest my case.
I'm gonna have to cut you off. But like something you mentioned though, and that was young players. You having young players to like, you know, carry on the culture of the club, which leads to my next question. We've seen a lot of cancellation in the Premier League for like,
can I interrupt a little bit?
Yeah,
before you go on to the cancellation of the game. Mm-hmm. Just a quick snippet, a quick opinion regarding the Man City Chelsea game. I think it was more of Tuchel getting it wrong than Pep getting it right. I'm not saying Pep didn't get it right, he got it right, but I think Tuchel got it starting 11 wrong. I think with that formation, yes, your two center midfielders are the hardest working people, Kante and Kovacic, winning the ball in transition and then pass the ball to the line. But then the most important player when it comes to attacking are the two number 10, which he used Ziyech and Pulisic. I think that was the wrong combination to use. Those two, Ziyech and Pulisic, had an awful game. They had a proper stinker. They couldn't connect midfield or be available for passes, so the passes could be through the lines. That's why Chelsea played a lot of square passes, and the ball barely got to Lukaku. Lukaku on his own, let's be honest, we're not surprised. He never shows up in big games at Everton, at United, at Chelsea. It's a Lukaku thing, so that was not shocking. But I think Mason Mount should have started. I think he would have done a better job than the 2 10s combined, and I think that was one of the reasons why Chelsea couldn't threaten. They couldn't even threaten City for the most part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. So now let's look at the cancellation. And we've seen like a lot of cancellations in the Premier League over the past couple of months. And to be honest, right now, for me personally, it's becoming quite annoying because it's like these clubs don't even want to dig down into like their youth players to play these games. It's like you have a youth squad. And that's the point of they're basically like your plan B. If your top players are not up to par, go to these guys, get players from them. We're seeing this in like every other league, Bundesliga, La Liga. Like people are bringing players from their team B to play for their first team squad when other players are out, be it due to COVID, injuries and whatnot. But now we've seen I don't know if it's a record number, but we've seen a lot of games being canceled. And I think Tottenham was just like even complaining about it this weekend as well. What do you guys think about like teams just, you know, any chance they have, they just file a petition to get their games canceled? What do you guys think about that?
I can go. So I think at the end of the day, this is still a competition. Nobody wants to be facing someone. It's understandable if you bring like two or three youth players. So actually, two or three is too much, if you ask me, because no one wants to lose a game. So if you bring like one or two youth players to play a game, it's fine. But this COVID is eating a huge majority of their team. Like 5-6 players are out. You can't expect them to be. It's like saying, okay, let me give an example. Tottenham wants to play Leicester City. Leicester has their first team, LD. They have them fit. And then Tottenham has like a COVID outbreak. You can't expect Tottenham to field in a team of like 5 youth players. They're going to get whooped and they're going to lose. No one wants to lose. It's still a competition at the end of the day. And I think that's the only reasoning about it. And you did say did you say Team B or the young players?
Either the Team B, young players, like players that they have as reserves.
I think most teams don't have a Team B like that. Most people just have a bunch
not
of...
Not everyone is massive.
That's what I was going to say. Most people Team B. Most people, players on Team B are not good. They are really like... They are players that you only play them in their situation. Anything, it's just life. If you can postpone a game and get it rescheduled for another day where you can have a better chance of winning. I think if you're a coach yourself, see, I think you'd do that. You'd rather take the win than want to play. When you add Coutinho, you'd rather take the win than play Coutinho, you know? You'd rather take the win. Is it Umtiti you don't like or all those players you don't like in your Barca team? If you had a choice of postponing a game and rather playing them, you'd rather postpone the game. I would rather postpone the game than play Maguire.
Does he have a choice?
Hey, I was happy he was benched yesterday, man.
which is just as simple as that. I think it's because most people know they can do this and have a better chance of winning and competing. That's why they take that route. And I think that's really what's about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And correct me, do the Premier League have like a cap of first team players you have to have? Like because I know for La Liga you have to have if you have 13 first team players, you're going on with the game. Does the Premier League have something like that?
Premier League is 14. So the handbook says both clubs need to have 14 players, mainly outfielders. That's the rule. But in fairness, like Danny said, I think we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, and I remember saying when United had only seven players available, which, you know, in fairness, you want to have 7 players available. What are you going to do? Bring 4 players from the academy and your bench is going to be what? Academy players again, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's going to be hard to actually compete, like Daniel said. And that's why when we spoke about this initially a couple of weeks ago, I suggested, as bad as it is, as much as it takes away from the game, I think we should go back to playing behind closed doors. Or play with, you know, a certain percentage of capacity, not full capacity. Bring back things that you had at training ground, right? Because, right, you know, the actual outbreak when you had Project Restart, there was so many restrictions at the training ground, you know. Bring back to restrict outbreaks at the training ground and minimize the amount of fans in the stadium, outbreaks, you know, in the stadium. And make a rule. Don't, like, idiotic players like Martinez yesterday, for example. I know you're excited you just equalized after messing up for the first goal, but don't go jumping into the fans, like, when clubs are having outbreaks, you know? Like, I understand you want to celebrate with your fans, and I love it. Like, you know, it's passion. You're being passionate. I love it. But not right now, you know? So stuff like that just needs to be eliminated. And, but yeah, as far as I agree with Danny, I don't think the game can. But in certain situations, I don't know about certain clubs, but like for United, I remember in December, we had only 7 outfield players, and the next game, 9 outfield players, which we had 2 games canceled. So in that kind of case, I mean, God, it makes no sense to actually, like, you can't really play anybody, right? But then obviously some clubs are taking advantage of it.
Yeah, no, totally. I don't know. For me, I still think, you know, like, every club is meant to have a backup. But yeah, it's going to suck. You know, not every team is Manchester City, that they have a team A, team B, team C that can still beat some first teams in the Premier League. But, you know, everyone just taking advantage of this and just canceling their games, it's killing the game in some way. And it's like, okay, you know what? We're scared of playing this team. Okay, you know what? We're just going to cancel it till, like, all our players are fit now. I don't know. I don't like it personally.
You're mad. Like, it's hindering your fantasy league.
That one too. Gosh, I don't know what fantasy right now. Jesus Christ! Oh god, don't even remind me.
Oh, man.
Let's move on to the last topic. AFCON. So we have seen the AFCON rolled off, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago, and a team that, well, everyone here did say they were gonna do very well. Egypt, what on earth is going on with Egypt? They literally didn't play anything against Nigeria. The game yesterday with the team that I don't remember, Guinea-Bissau.
Equatorial Guinea, I believe.
Yeah, those guys. I was like, they struggled. They were literally like the underdogs in that game. What is going on with Egypt? Like, they have literally the world best player, as some people would say right now. But they
thought that you were right. Sorry for interrupting. Yeah, it was Guinea-Bissau. My bad. I get them mixed up.
No, it's okay. But they are the world best player, like some people would say. But they're struggling to actually win games. What is going on? What do you guys think?
Carlos Queiroz is going on. Carlos Queiroz is going on. Listen, I like Carlos Queiroz, former Manchester United assistant. But let's be honest, as an head coach, he's not really done well. Like, the longest stint he's had as an head coach was in Iran. And Iran, you know, maybe made the world. He's not really, I don't think, watching them tactically, I think playing Salah as a number 9 was a bad move, because at the end of the day, let's be honest, when you go back to the Portuguese teams where Ronaldo had to literally be the main guy and stuff, in his prime at the age of 28, 29, which Salah is right now, Ronaldo was playing on the wing still, right? So he was great for himself and was able to also get passes, you know, get chances created for him, right? Mm-hmm. If they had played Ronaldo as a number 9 in those games, it's going to be hard for him to be efficient. He wouldn't have gotten service because he didn't have the quality, right? Which is the problem with Egypt now. They don't really have that much quality in terms of individuals. So, but typically, the organization has always been what they could rely on. But now, they don't look organized as a team. And then also, I think Salah being played as a number 9 is not helping. Because if you play him on the wing, he can come out, create for himself, and then, you know, attract more players. You could overload ball side on Salah's and, you know, create more. He could create chances for others as well. Create chances for others, create chances for himself. Create chances by not even touching the ball, just attracting defenders, you know? Mm-hmm. So many different ways. But playing him as a number 9, I think, at this age where he could still do so much more, and we see more with Liverpool, is, you know, I think it's not the right move. But, hey, there's a reason he has his coaching badges and I don't.
Fair enough. All right, Dami, what do you think is going on?
I think we lost Dami there for a bit.
I think we have, actually. All right. Anyways, I think that even helps.
Well, in fairness, I'd say it. Sorry. I'm going to speak for Dan because we have the same opinion on this. Salah playing as a, we actually spoke about this before behind the scenes. Salah playing as a number nine was going to be his what's it called? His case as well, because I remember we agreed on it when we spoke about it behind the scenes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. No, that totally makes sense. I really hope they qualify to the next round.
I want Salah back in the. I mean, listen. If my threatening to win the league, and I said yes, I wanted to stay at AFCON longer. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they're not trying to win any league. I just want it back so they could come back to my fantasy team. So, yeah, I hope they go home after the group stage.
Well, now it's about your fantasy. It's not even about Liverpool competing.
I really don't give a shit about Liverpool, bro. I just care about my fantasy team. But, like, I don't care about Liverpool.
All right, well, I guess we'll have to wait and see. Anyways, that's all we can do for today. Thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. From myself, ID, and Dami, that we've lost. Hope to get him back next time. Please follow us on Instagram and Twitter at SuckPod. What did you say?
I said, I hope not. I don't want it to come close again.
Rant about Man City again.
But anyway.
Anyways, yeah, we'll see you guys next time, and bye for now. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.